back to another Inside the U podcast. I'm Christopher Stock here with David Lake and new guy Andrew Ivins. We're going to talk about the Paradise Camp for the second time because the first time we recorded it, something happened to my recorder. So we're going to do take two on this. Andrew, hey. Yay, we're back. Andrew, welcome. We want to welcome everybody. Welcome Andrew to everybody. Joined the staff last week. He's been great with recruiting, especially with the Paradise Camp. Andrew, welcome aboard. And can you just tell the guys that are listening just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'll give it to you guys in less than a paragraph. Originally here from Florida, I've been covering Notre Dame for the past 2 years for a magazine. But now I'm back. I'm excited to be part of the team here at 247 Sports and with Chris and David at Inside the U. And I do not think there could have probably been a better event to kind of get my feet wet with than the Paradise Camp. It was quite the event. We got plenty of access, and we have plenty to talk about. So let's get to it.
Let's do this again, David.
Yeah.
I want to jump the way we kind of ended the last thing. Let's start right off the bat about the Florida situation. Brett Romberg, first off, the Paradise Camp was a huge success. A lot of guys, former greats and big-time recruits. And the big thing that kind of came out on a negative side, I guess, or just some controversy, I guess, a little bit, was UF and that. And David, you wrote a little bit about what Brett Romberg had to say about it. Can you explain to the listeners?
Yeah. So Brett Romberg has a radio show here in South Florida. And he was one of the coaches out at the camp. So he basically went on his show and wanted to call out University of Florida because I guess that day, the day of the Paradise Camp, Florida, this is all according to Romberg, Florida had called the NCAA 20 times that day to report the University of Miami for minor recruiting violations. And basically Romberg cleared up what the situation was, and he basically said, so Romberg was one of many former UM players who came back that day. There was big-time stars like Ray Lewis, Michael Irvin, Antrell Roll, John Beeson, countless other guys that were there in attendance for camp. And some of those guys had gone through background checks the week leading up to the camp. And those guys that went through background checks were allowed to act as coaches on the field and really coach the kids up, give them tips, pointers, what have you. The guys who didn't go through the background check leading up to the camp were designated as speakers for the camp. And basically all the former guys before the camp gave a nice little speech, introduced who they were, said something about Miami, said something about competition and the camp. And then also after the camp, Ray Lewis made a nice little speech to the campers as well. So, and leading up to the camp, Mark Richt made sure to go on Twitter and kind of designate who those former players were that were acting as coaches. And they were guys like Philip Buchanan, Antrell Roll, Brett Romberg, and Jeremy Shockey, I think. And so basically, Florida just assumed that all these guys were acting as coaches that didn't go through the background check. And so Florida was complaining, I guess, constantly throughout the day on Saturday about that. And so Romberg just wanted to call out Florida for, you know, being whiny for no reason, not knowing the whole story. And, you know, as a former player, Romberg definitely had fun with that on the radio.
Yeah, Andrew, just we saw a little bit of that, you know, with Ray Lewis when he was welcomed in, and Mark Richt welcomed, you know, when he got there, and you had the video, and we were standing right there, and Mark Richt made a little comment about, you know, schools or something like that. We didn't know at the time what that meant, but I think looking back, it probably pertained to this, certainly.
Yeah, I actually think I just transcribed it. It's he goes, we got everybody so mad that they can't see straight, and at the time, we had kind of no idea what that was, but I guess it had to do probably with the NCAA calling him all day, just trying to get, you know, all the T's and I's dotted and crossed and everything like that. But the only thing I can really add here is, you know, Romberg, he definitely, I thought, was 100% there to coach. I mean, I think I posted some video. I mean, he was hands-on, worked with the new offensive tackle commit, Zalante Hillary, and stuff like that. So I don't think Miami was trying to bend around the back or anything like that and kind of just slide guys in or use that. I mean, they used it to their advantage. I thought it was pretty awesome just to see all those guys there roll up in their, you know, luxury cars and then just go and coach. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so let's skip that now. You know, we're past that UF thing. You mentioned Zalante Hillary, one of the commitments. And I know you were there with offensive line, defensive line drills. What was your impressions of Zalante and maybe some other things you saw?
Yeah, I watched a lot of the offensive and defensive line, probably every one-on-one rep. And Zalante, I mean, we kind of didn't really know much about him at all this time last week. We just knew he was DJ Dallas's teammate, but he gave a verbal commitment to Miami before the camp, worked out, got a lot of time with Coach Stacy Searles. He's a big guy, 6'6", probably 280. He's lean and he's very raw. I think he's now a 3-star on 247sports.com. I see him as a right tackle, but he's got a very high ceiling, and I was very impressed with him. And I think you guys saw him too. I mean, he definitely passes kind of that eyeball test in terms of, hey, that's probably a legitimate Power 5 tackle at the next level.
Yeah, I think, you know, offensive tackle is definitely a big position of need for this recruiting class. Really, they just need to get guys in this class who have that offensive tackle body type. And then those traits you look for in an offensive tackle, which, you know, would be plus foot quickness compared to guards and some nice length to them. And Hillary definitely checks all those boxes. And I think, Andrew, isn't it true that Hillary, I guess, had some offers even going into this Miami camp?
Yeah, I think I read somewhere and he had told me after the camp that Nick Saban and Alabama were the first school to offer him. But this was kind of it would have been his coming out party if he had not, you know, already had committed to Miami. But this was kind of his first real, you know, in front of a whole bunch of recruiting analysts. And I thought he did very well. He's raw, like I keep saying, but he's got quick feet and long arms, and he's got definitely a frame that you can build on. So it'll be interesting to see him develop kind of in the program and see what his ceiling is. Like I said, I think I got him pegged on the right side of the line, but there's some flexibility there where maybe he can kind of move around. And I think he's a compliment to what they already have in the class. I mean, you got a guard in Zach Dystra, and then you got Yvonne Donaldson, who likely play right tackle and can move around as well. So I think that's three solid linemen for Miami, and they're going to keep going after some of those bigger guys.
Andrew, can you expand a little bit about those two guys you just mentioned there with Navon and Zach, just your thoughts on them and maybe how they fit into UM's future?
Well, this was the first time I had seen Yvonne Donaldson, I think, ever kind of in person. And I was just blown away. I mean, I think I was talking to Luke Stampini about it from the Florida site. How did this guy not get invited to the opening? He just looked like a man, and he pretty much handled a very weak defensive line group. I think he's a right tackle as well, but he probably has more position flexibility. Maybe he could start his career earlier at one of those guard positions, but he's a powerful guy. I mean, he was just pushing kind of anyone around. Dykstra, I mean, we talked about him previously to this podcast, but, you know, he's a guy that came all the way from Iowa. Obviously, he's committed to Miami, but that was kind of the reach you got with this camp, and I think he's a pure guard. He's got good hands, maybe not the quickest person, but he's going to have to put on some size, but I liked him as well. So those two guys, I think, are very good for Miami, and it was just cool to see kind of that whole group working together in some capacity with drills.
How about just the 5-star offensive tackle Alex Leatherwood, Andrew? I know he camped, he participated in the camp, and you also had a chance to talk to him going into the camp. So I guess, number one, how did he look? Number two, what kind of vibes did you get from him in terms of how much he's looking at Miami?
I think, and I know you guys will agree with me, I mean, he could probably eat me right away and just keep moving. he's a big dude. I don't think he actually had the best camp. I mean, he's so powerful. He wasn't really that great in one-on-ones, and maybe that's because, you know, we're expecting some guy to just come out here and just dominate. But he camped. I don't think either of us or any of us had thought he was going to actually work out, so it was cool to see that. He told Ryan Bartow of 247 Sports that he plans to return for an official visit. I think that's kind of a win for Miami in my book. I mean, you got this guy on campus. He got to hang out, work out with the offensive line coach, and now he says he wants to come back. So, yeah, he's committed to Miami, but I think – I mean, he's committed to Alabama, but I think Miami will be in the conversation down the line. And that's kind of, that should have been the goal on this visit. And I think they kind of, you know, not a hit a home run, but or at least definitely in play with that.
I think that's something that you guys are touching on now that was so impressive with the camp is just the fact that so many top level guys did compete. And, you know, I had a chance to talk with Mark Richt during the camp about it, just your thoughts on that. And he said that, you know, that was something that they like to see. They wanted to see guys compete. And that doesn't happen at camps like this all the time. You know, guys go and part of it's, you know, for various reasons. But yeah, these guys competed. They probably had their own particular reasons why they did. And David, I don't know if you have an opinion on that or Andrew, what you've seen or how rare it was just to see so many high level guys. One of the things that stood out to me is when Nikosi Perry's throwing a ball and Mark Pope's catching it and DJ Dallas is in coverage and just a big time play with three big time playmakers. And that's just what you would like to see at an event like this with so many guys there. You want to see them go against each other, and they certainly did.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can give a lot of credit to the participation of those high level guys. I think you can credit that to those former UM stars, NFL stars being in attendance. I think that kind of gave the camp a little extra juice, and I think it maybe motivated some of those guys to work out in front of those stars. So, you know, overall, it was a really cool event, very competitive, and it definitely had some elite level guys working out.
I think just to follow up with that, Notre Dame the past 2 years, they've kind of done this Irish invasion camp, which is an elite camp like this. And this past June, when I was there, the sidelines were just stacked full of kids that just didn't work out. I mean, you had like Baron Browning, a five-star linebacker. He didn't want to work out. And I mean, I keep going down the list, but I think the only person that didn't work out on Saturday was DJ Johnson, the top 247 defensive end out of California. And he said he had some type of injury. Devontae Smith, the five-star wide receiver, he was in street clothes and then one-on-one started. And Nelson, he was, you know, just balling out and making catch after catch. So I thought that was pretty unique and kind of just a testament to, you know, the atmosphere they had created. I mean, it was competitive, but no one was, you know, playing for a scholarship or anything like that. It seems like everyone just wanted to get out there and compete. And I thought Miami really hit a home run with that.
And I think that just goes to the overall success of the camp. You know, again, all the hype that we had that we were covering leading up to the camp and all the former players. But, now, you know, then all the recruits are there, but not just there, but they're actually doing stuff. And like you said, Andrew, like it doesn't happen at other schools. And Miami really did well. And somebody asked on the boards on our site there, hey, was this, you know, we hear that it's a success, but was it really a success because, you know, maybe they were expecting a little bit more guys to commit? You know, we mentioned Hillary, you know, Brian Edwards committed and Akeem Dent, you know, those guys committed, but was it enough guys? Did enough guys get impacted by the event? And just curious on your guys' opinion on that, because I think so many things were done well, and I think it certainly was an overall success of the event.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's look, you didn't have a bunch of sexy names commit, a bunch of high four-star, five-star guys commit. But really, I don't think that should have been the expectation going in. I think it's definitely a success because you got those big-time names on your campus, and they all had a good experience over the weekend. And really, that's what recruiting is about, getting them on your campus, getting some good face time with the coaching staff, and, you know, letting that sit, letting that linger, and maybe they'll come back again. I mean, I think it was a resounding success. And really, I mean, I don't think Miami could have realistically asked for more from the event.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
My rule of thumb with these kind of just recruiting weekends in general, I mean, you're probably going to get one or two commitments, but it's really not about, hey, what you get that weekend. It's kind of the fallout and what happens and you know, the coming weeks and coming days. They had so many different top targets there. I mean, it's clear that they're the leader for DJ Johnson. Maybe he wants to wait to announce it, but you still got him on campus for the first time, and he loved everything about it. So I think it's for a fan, you want more and more and more. But they got three kids, and three they're very excited about. So you can't judge an event like this based on the commitments. That's just kind of my rule of thumb with that
one. And also, I mean, look, it's July, so there's still plenty of time, and a lot of these big time guys don't make a decision until late in the process.
Yeah, definitely. And certainly, I think it's just going to be one of those, because David and Andrew, we talked to so many guys afterwards, and they were all excited about the event, you know, and I think a lot of guys had positive experiences, and that's what ultimately what you want to do. And it was very unique in the sense that you're not going to go anywhere else and see that kind of star power from coaches, you know, those former guys. You just don't see that. And another thing that we haven't touched on yet is the barbecue they had and the pool party that was so unique on Friday night, and everyone seemed to have a good time there too. So overall, it was definitely a huge success. And, you know, it was an inaugural event, and it's something that you're going to see every year, and they're going to make it better next year. You know, they're going to find ways to tweak it and do certain things. But overall, it seemed to run pretty smooth. And I think UM is certainly pleased. And I think because how the response we seem to get from the recruits about how it actually went down.
Yeah, I know, Chris, you mainly watched the running back group there. And, you know, there's two big-time 2018 targets that were there, and Lorenzo Lingard and James Cook. I guess, what did you see from both those two young guys? And maybe what do they do differently? What do they bring to the table as players?
Yeah, those two definitely stood out. There were four running backs there. So the other two were 2017's Bentavious Thompson, a Miami commit, and Malik Davis, the productive back out of Tampa. So, but no question, Lorenzo and James stood out. I think the thing that strikes me, I guess let's just start with Lorenzo. He's just so impressive as an athlete. He's fast. He's quick. He's got great size. But the thing that stands out to me is when you watch him, it's every single rep, he does it at 110%. You know, he's a very hard worker. And I think that's something that's going to separate him from his peers moving forward. I think he's a guy that he's an elite level prospect, and it's exactly what you're looking for in a running back. And he was definitely impressive at the event. And I think if Miami's able to get him, they've got an elite back that they've been looking for.
And then James Cook, I guess, what did you see from him?
Yeah, I forgot. You know, James, he's just one of those guys that you want in your program. He looked good too. You know, I think Lorenzo's a little bit different, but James looked good as well. He's very swift, very quick. He runs so smooth, and he's definitely added some size to himself. You know, he reclassified it. So he was a 2019 before. Now he's 2018 there out of Miami Central. And he's just definitely looks like he's continuing to mature physically, which you like to see. And he's definitely the real deal as well. And, you know, he's certainly a guy that, you know, right now committed to Florida State, but he's certainly a guy, a high level guy that Miami would love to have on their team as well. And both those two guys are projected as high level players at the college level.
And then I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Chris. I guess Bentavious Thompson, you mentioned him, Miami commit. What did you see from him? And I guess just the main question I have for you is Bentavious a Miami-level running back in your mind?
Well, I think, you know, David, we've talked about Bentavious before, and we've seen so much of him, you know, because he got started early as a starting running back at the high school level. And, you know, you watch him, and there were certainly times where you're impressed with his fluidity, playing, you know, like 7-on-7s or 1-on-1. There was a couple routes where I'm like, man, that looked pretty good. But overall, I would say he's just not the level of those two guys that I just mentioned before, and James and Lorenzo, even though he is a year older in classification. He's just it's just not he doesn't have an elite skill that you're looking for at a high level program like a Miami. And I think he's going to have a tough time. Assuming he does come to UM, I just think there'll be better guys, what I see right now. And so it'll be interesting. And Malik Davis was another guy that Miami's offered. I think he, again, showed flashes at times. But, you know, there were other times where, you know, he clearly was not at the level as Lorenzo and James as a prospect. So I think both those guys are fine, and maybe they'll be good fits. Just a different player. You know, they're just not the level of those other two, that simply put.
And I know I mainly watch the quarterbacks, receivers, DBs, mainly watch those guys. But Andrew, I know one guy that impressed you at DB was Amari Carter, who you definitely covered as you covered Notre Dame recruiting as well before coming on Inside to You. So I guess what impressed you about Amari, and I guess just in general, where would you say, as a recruiting update, what is the latest with Amari right now?
Well, this is the first time I'd seen Amari work out probably since his spring ball. I mean, he's a guy that really doesn't do a lot of camps. And I know me and you, David, have been talking a lot about how Miami kind of even was talking about maybe moving him to a cornerback or just trying to see where he could play at the next level. Is it safety? Is it cornerback? And I didn't get to see much of him, but I thought physically, I mean, he looked pretty ripped pretty cut up in terms of he had put on some size, and he undercut a route in that 7-on-7 portion for what I thought was one of the defensive plays of the day. And
yeah,
I know Miami's coaches were all fired up about him, but recruiting wise, I still think this is a Notre Dame Miami battle. I don't think Amari Carter really gets much publicity as a top target for Miami, but based on everything I've heard, Miami really, really, really wants him. And I know they had long conversations with him and his mom well after the camp on Saturday night. So Miami's definitely in the thick of that recruitment. I think it's going to come down to some official visits. But in terms of just a prospect, I think he's a guy who's probably a little underranked at three stars, but he's one who I thought didn't look out of place on that field at all on Saturday.
Yeah, I know another safety prospect who committed to Miami over the weekend, Brian Edwards, also showed some nice versatility at Paradise Camp. He's a 6'3 defensive back with so he has some good length to him. And Miami was having him flip back and forth between corner and safety throughout the camp just to see what he could do. And I think, you know, Miami's philosophy with Brian Edwards right now is to give him a shot at corner, see if he can do it, see if he can hold it down. If not, then he can go be a ball hawking safety. So I think moving forward, in my mind, he probably is more of a safety, but, you know, why not try him at corner, see if he can make it happen? Chris, I know you watched him a little bit too on Saturday. What were your thoughts on Brian?
Yeah, watched him for a little bit and also talked to him afterwards just to kind of get his thoughts on the whole thing. But I think the thing that you talked about, the corner safety thing, I asked him directly about that, and he's kind of open to either. I think there's no question. He looks very fluid as a safety, but yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt him. And he's not one of these guys that I want to play this, I want to play that. He's kind of open to whatever. So he'll try it. He says he's a defensive back and just going to go there. But I think the thing that stood out to me, his back pedal looked good. You know, he moved well as a safety. And the play that stood out to me is when he clotheslined a receiver. You know, he comes over the middle to try to deflect a pass. The receiver caught it and he clipped him. And I asked him about that play and he said, yeah, you know, I mean, he knew what he did. And he just said, yeah, you know, and it definitely would have been a lot different if I had pads on. So he definitely has that mentality you're looking for. But, you know, just, yeah, defensive backs and, you know, we talk about DJ Dallas, but I definitely want to, we can, either way, whatever you guys want to do, but those three receivers, I just can't get them out of my head. I mean, they definitely made plays all over the place, and they were your top performers at the camp, David, and I don't know if you want to jump into them or talk about DJ.
Yeah, so the top three guys in my mind at the camp was wide receivers Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith. Both 2017 targets. Jerry Judy's from South Florida. Devontae Smith is from Louisiana. And then also 2018 prospect Mark Pope, who's from Southridge. And those three guys just blew up the camp. They dominated whoever they went up against. They were catching deep ball after deep ball. They were all Mossin guys at times. And really, those three guys were interchangeable in terms of who the best player was at the camp. I know one thing I want to pass along is Jerry Jeudy definitely has proved me wrong after seeing him earlier in the spring. I wasn't that high on him because week after week after week, he would have these sleepy performances at these 7-on-7 events. And I just don't like guys that are sleepy. I like guys that go hard all the time. Well, Jerry went hard at the opening, number one, and then number two at this Paradise Camp. And he was definitely dominant. I mean, no one could stick him. No one could stay with him. He's a very good route runner. He's one of the best double move route runners I've ever seen. Probably him and Amari Cooper being the other. So yeah, I was very impressed by Jeudy. I know, Andrew, you talked to Devontae Smith a little after the camp. What kind of vibe did you get from him after talking to him?
Devontae, yeah, I think a lot of people had him kind of penciled in for Alabama when he showed up on campus. He's set to make that decision on, I think, August 15th. And I mean, to be honest, I still think Alabama's the pick, you know, if he had to choose today. But I think Miami made up a lot of ground this weekend. I know I posted that story on Monday morning, and a lot of people really didn't know that he used to be committed to Mark Richt when Richt was at Georgia. And the one quote that kind of stood out for me from him was, you know, I trusted Coach Richt once before. I feel like I could trust him again. So does that change something here in the next few weeks? I'm not sure, but I think it kind of puts Miami in position to maybe get an official visit later in the process. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's kind of like I talked about previously with Alex Leatherwood. I mean, if you get these guys back on campus later, that's going to go a long way. So
sure.
We'll see. I mean, it's a two-team race, and I mean, Miami, they should probably be considered more than a dark horse, but we'll see. It seems like Rick's definitely in the back of his head, though.
And then, Chris, I know you've been impressed with Mark Pope before in the past. I mean, he was an absolute monster out there.
Yeah, he's just so fluid and smooth. You know, I think that's the thing. He can beat you a lot of different ways. He can beat you short, and then obviously he goes long. He just has great control, and to me, he strikes me as a guy, a receiver that – I don't know much about his background like that, but he looks like one of those basketball guys that just runs really well and high points the ball. And he's got, you know, he's not the biggest receiver, but he's got good length, you know, and I think that's what's impressive. But he runs so smooth, and, you know, he had a huge day there Saturday and making play after play, and really tough to guard in those one-on-one situations. And I think he's going to have a huge year. And it was interesting because first he told me he was coming, and then a few days later he said, oh, I can't make it. And then we see him at the camp, and Andrew, you talked to him a little bit when we saw him there, and he just, you know, was able to go, and he had a good time, and certainly Alabama's a leads for him, but he's, you know, he definitely likes Miami, and the hometown thing is going to be appealing to him as well as he gets more into this recruiting process.
It's just kind of amazing how many of these guys all have Alabama out in front, isn't it? I mean, it's just like guy after guy after guy, but
certainly.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're definitely putting together a nice class. I guess we're going to go soon, but last thing I want to touch on before we go is the quarterbacks, particularly Nakosi Perry. You know, I thought he had another strong performance. He was definitely the top quarterback at the event. He's definitely a guy who can make all the throws you want, and he seems to get better. Each time I see him, I feel like he gets better in terms of making quick decisions and knowing where to go with the ball in 7-on-7. So, you know, I just think that just reaffirms how I feel about Nakosi and that he can be a future starting quarterback for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly was impressed as well. We've seen Nakosi in the past at UM, and he looked great, and he just has a good presence about him, and he throws multiple he throws different balls. He can, you know, beat you deep and go over the middle. He just has different velocity, and he's got a good leadership quality about him, and he certainly shined, which is what you want to see from a guy committing that's already committed to Miami, definitely at that position.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd seen Perry, I think, since the Army Combine back in January. And I said then, and I've been telling you guys since I came on the beat, I think he's got one of the livest arms in Florida and in the class. And the one thing I also want to point out is he's just – a lot of people I don't think realize how tall he is. I mean, he's probably 6'3", maybe the hair helps a little bit, but he's definitely a talented kid, and it was just nice getting a chance to see him for the first time and to see him throw it.
And just lastly, the other two quarterbacks, Andrew, your thoughts on them before we wrap this up?
Cade Weldon. First time I had seen him, just nice kid. And then the other one, Casey Thompson. He seems to be Miami's 2018 guy, the younger brother of Kendall Thompson, the former Utah and Oklahoma quarterback. He's been on campus once before, liked it, and says he's going to be back again. So it seems like Miami at least has picked up some ground there with him.
Well, yeah, I think that's about it. Definitely appreciate you guys doing this podcast once again. Hopefully it was as good as our first one. I think it was better. we had some technical issues, but definitely thank everybody for listening, and definitely thank everybody for tuning in last week, you know, leading up to the event and reading everything we've done on the site. Andrew, once again, thanks again for coming to the team. We're excited to have you and looking forward to more strong weeks ahead.
Definitely, guys. Thank you for having me, and everyone should definitely be locked into the site. It's only getting started with fall camp around the corner.
All right, David, Andrew, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks again for listening.
All right, take care.